O light beyond men's highest thought, beyond all wisdom seers have wrought, ne'er yet in vain that light was sought, we come to thee, we come to thee. I ask for that song to be sung. Thank you, Shane, for doing such a great job in leading it. There's a phrase in 2 Timothy, in connection with this song, where it talks about apostates and people who don't know God, and there's quite a long, dreadful list. They're traitors, they're disobedient to parents, and they're lovers of themselves more than God. But there's a phrase that describes them, and they are not coming to the light that we sang about. It says that they are ever learning, but never able to come to the truth. And I don't know how you find it, but I find as I am honest with myself, that often describes me. And I think it's good to stop and take a look at our own lives, because those apostates being described in 2 Timothy are not just people out there, it's humans. It's anywhere in the human scene. And so it's good to know our own hearts and think a little, are we learning and coming to the truth? Like that song says, to come to the light. And that's what I want to lead you in thinking about this morning, that light, capital L in your hymnals, Jesus Christ. So that we can be on a path, hopefully, let's check and make sure that our hearts are right, that we're on a path to not only learn, but also to come to the truth, capital T. We all know about spiritual giants, and I guess if I would ask you, if you're a spiritual giant, you would shift your eyes, maybe get red and say no. You wouldn't want the pride, you know, that would factor in there, and I appreciate your humility. But I will just say that the hymn about a charge to keep have I is serious. You know, it's speaking, it's not trying to make a joke about what it's saying, if you remember the hymn. You know, a charge to keep have I, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. That's why we're here. And I don't think that that's just trying to be funny or like it's only for the clergy or something. It's for everyone. And so we have a charge to keep, and that's why we're together, to network as Christians and encourage each other. And may it be so. Amen. You know, And there's Ephesians 4. I want to read just a few verses from that, and then I'm going to share with you, hopefully, by the grace of God, three observations that I've observed from spiritual giants in my life. And yes, I know some living ones. There are plenty in the past that we read about, but you know, I'm even more impressed by the living ones because the writers or the biographers could have gotten the dead ones wrong. But the ones in my life, I believe, are just it's a work of grace. And we are allowed to, in order to save our own souls, we're allowed to take notes from these people as they have traversed these many miles and have left lessons for us, and we can ask them questions and so on. And I have three observations that I want to make about them. But first of all, notice Ephesians 4. I'm just going to be picking a few phrases here. It says in 14, verse 14 of Ephesians 4, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro. All right? That's not us. We don't want to be those kinds of people. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait, to deceive. But we, of course, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And then if we skip down, he's talking about the Gentiles, how they have their conversation in the darkness. But he says in verse 20 that ye have not so learned Christ as the Gentiles. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Learning and coming to the truth, unlike the apostates mentioned in 2 Timothy, the phrase I mentioned. So on to the three observations about spiritual giants. Some of them I will just say are in this building, and I know others as well. Someday I hope to be like them when I grow up. But you know, there's something I meant that I notice about them. They're always patient. in this vast journey to truth, capital T, Jesus Christ, to a full knowledge of him and having him in their lives as the foundation and how they live out of it. They're always patient. And, you know, I'm blessed by that. You know, there's the Dalai Lama in Asia that people visit sometimes to get advice on how to achieve spirituality and become fine, you know, and to meet their inner selves and that kind of thing. And, you know, I wish them the best. But I would just say that these spiritual giants I know have a better secret. And it's found in Romans 2. I'm just going to read you that verse or part of it. Romans 2, where the key in Romans 2 is not to visit a guru or read several books or something, but it's, here's what it says, by patient continuance in well-doing, they achieve spiritual maturity and immortality and glory and honor. Romans 2, by patient continuance in well-doing. So, saving our souls, learning and coming to the truth, it takes patience. No spiritual giant is born overnight or in one mission trip or in one weekend seminar. It takes patience, but let's not abandon the journey. That's the most important thing. You know, we could compare it to the universe. Sometimes analogies are helpful. We're Christians, and we've started out on this journey to both learn and come to the truth, Jesus Christ, and a full knowledge of him. But sometimes it feels as though we've never left our home planet, much less our home galaxy. And yet our destination is light years away. But, you know, as long as you're on the right trajectory, you will do well if you can remember to, by patient continuance in well-doing, continue. Observation number two for those who are both learning and coming to the truth, spiritual giants are always humble. Humility is going to be very important in this, saving our souls. Chinese proverb, those who know much speak little. If you think that through, that's very true. And sometimes the most humble people are the ones who know the most, but you would never think it because they're not always running their yaps. Trying to make sure that we know everything that is inside them. No, they're deep wells. They're humble, and unlike King Saul, these people, these spiritual giants who we want to attain, who we want to follow, are small in their own eyes. King Saul, it was said of him that he was big in his own eyes, which is kind of an interesting expression. But we don't want to be like that. We want to be small in our own eyes, and we want to have God big in our own eyes, and the key to spiritual maturity and coming to the truth is thinking of God as being limitless. There is nothing that he couldn't do. And we ourselves are ignorant and small in our own eyes. It's like Socrates said, who was not a Christian, when a person is ignorant, then he is ready to learn. When a person is ignorant, then he is ready to learn. The third observation about those who are coming to Christ and maturing spiritually is that they are focused. Luke chapter 9, there's a verse I want to read to you, the words of Jesus. Let us take this to heart as we come to him. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And you know, I don't know what that looking back is for you. It could be any variety of things in a group this size. But I think for me, it has often been what I've finally come to see after 29 years of life, I've finally come to see it as evil twin sisters. They're detractors, and here's what they are. You know, I work with people, I work sometimes with people, and often I get two things. I either get negative criticism, which I want to build on, and I want to improve myself with, or I get affirmation. But as I've lived life, I've noticed the tremendous power that they have to detract me. I don't know how you find it, but this passage in Luke, where Jesus is talking, he's saying, you can't let those things detract you if you want to become a spiritual giant and save your soul. Stay focused. Don't let man's empty praise, as the hymn says, detract you. And then also don't let man's empty criticism, frankly, detract you either. We're focused on God, and we have an audience of one, And when he's pleased, we're pleased. When he's saddened, we're saddened, and so on. Of course, it doesn't mean that we never stop and take stock of what people are saying. Another, I think, pitfall for many of us can be how we compare ourselves. And Corinthians says that we shouldn't compare ourselves. If you are to attain, if you are to learn and come to the truth, I need to stop comparing myself. Because after all, it's always easier to find a weaker Christian than myself. But how about we start comparing ourselves with St. Francis of Assisi or the Apostle Paul, if we want to, or Mother Teresa or somebody like that, if we want to compare ourselves. But better yet, compare yourself with Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate standard. And you'll never stop growing if you do that, because you will not have attained to Christ ever in this life. So stay focused, please. And on that note of comparing, I was just reading an article that I thought might be interesting, where a study was done. I don't know where they come up with these studies, who does them, or how true they are. But apparently there's this rivalry going on sometimes when two sisters marry husbands. I don't know whether any of you can relate. But the first sister, of course, wants to make sure that her husband is just a notch better than the other sister's husband. And far be it from us, right? I'm sure it never happens here. But anyway, there was a study done that supposedly showed that sometimes the rivalry will extend to their salaries. And I thought it was interesting, and I would pass it on for whatever it's worth for you brothers-in-law, if you're listening, which I don't have any yet, but anyway. But apply it to your case if it applies. But the interesting thing was that if a woman's brother-in-law makes more money, in other words, follow this, the lady's sister's husband, I can't say it right, if he makes more money than this lady's own husband, she gets jealous and she starts working out. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. And there have been studies to prove this. And it's more likely that a lady will be working away from home if her sister's husband is making more than her own husband. And it just shows a little bit the folly of the human heart. Clearly, such a person would not be focused. And there would be many more examples where we humans do this. We get all bent out of shape to try to compare ourselves with other people. But that's not being focused, and it is not coming to the truth. So, finally, I think the prime passage, the classic passage of learning and coming to the truth is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to read a few verses from there. You don't have to turn to it, but you may if you wish. And I'm starting in verse 5. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Don't stop. Add to your faith. Add what? Virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Is anyone daunted yet? Okay, well, this is a daunting list. But the promise is, further down, if you give diligence in verse 10 to make sure your calling and election is sure, if you do these things, you shall never fall. And then verse 11 is what I wanted to pick up on. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, to summarize, it will be worth it all. Spiritual maturity will be worth it all. And so enjoy the journey and let's help each other. Please kneel for prayer.